Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Barry Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Friday to each and every one of you, wherever you might be out there in the Stand in the Gap radio network. What a blessing it is to be able to be with you today. And we thank you very, very much for the pleasure of your company, wherever you might be and whatever you might be doing. Along with David Kistler and Sam Rohr, I am Gary Dahl. Thank you for being there. We want to encourage you to stay tuned to the program, because when we get into segment two and segment three, we are going to be having with us Mr. Phil Dubrow, who is the Vice President and General Manager of WTAJ Television here in Altoona, Pennsylvania, where I happen to live. It's a CBS affiliate, and we are going to be talking with him and getting his insights and thoughts concerning what has taken place down in Roanoke the other day with WDBJ Television and the killings of those journalists down there. It's really sad, and of course a lot of things have been developing in the last 48 hours, and I think this will be a particular interesting discussion as we get the opinions and the thoughts and the insight from somebody who's in the television industry. I believe that it'll be informative to every one of us. But before we get into that second segment, the presidential campaign lurks forward, David Kistler, and it appears as though Mr. Trump is still blowing his trumpet and on top of things.
Well, Gary, he is, and in a very recently released, in fact, I think it came out today, Rasmussen report or Rasmussen poll, GOP voters, likely GOP voters, now say by a percentage of 59%, they believe that he will be the eventual GOP nominee. Now, Gary, that is up from, I think it was 25%, 26% back in June when Trump first announced that he was going to be running. And then the other interesting statistic is this. Of all likely voters that are going to vote in the 2016 presidential election, 17% in June thought that Trump could ever become the eventual GOP nominee. Now 47%. Believe that he will be the eventual nominee. So all of that suggests what we have been talking about on this program over the last number of weeks, and that's this. Trump is no longer an anomaly. He is here, it appears, for the duration. He seems to be made out of Teflon, all the things that all the pundits said would eliminate him from the contention for the GOP nominee. Any controversial statements that he's made have just bounced off of him. And he continues to rise in the polls. So, men, it is something that we are going to have to delve into. Those that are of a conservative persuasion are going to have to take an honest look at him, as well as potentially all the voters are going to have to take a good honest look at him, because it appears he's here for the duration.
Sam, you know, you've been involved with government and politics for many, many years. What is going on here? I mean, here is a fellow, of course, he's never held an elected office. And, you know, I mean, not only is he a phenomenon, but many people have said he's a cartoon. and it seems like no matter what he says, he just continues to go up in the polls. What is causing this to happen?
He's a very rich cartoon, Gary, if he's a cartoon.
Oh, he's a rich cartoon. Okay, well, that's true.
Yeah. You know, gentlemen, but that's an interesting thing, because even in this Rasmussen poll, the greater majority of those who are polled who favor him more highly, think that he will be the candidate of the Republican candidate, are those who make less than $50,000 a year. Now, Understand what he's talking to is the key here is that he is connecting with the real issues that have been rejected by, ignored, glossed over, whatever you want to say, by both political parties and the leadership of both parties, who I will say both of them have tended to be far more concerned about where they in their own cronyism go than they are about representing the people of the country. The result of it is people have been building up an angst a long time. And he is speaking to how to break that logjam. He is speaking to raising our status in the world, in the eyes of the world. He's speaking to these issues that have really plagued those who are patriots in this country, who say, I can't stand the fact that our president's not standing up and defending us, or that those in Congress are sit there and whine about why they can't do something rather than stepping up and doing what they're supposed to do according to the law. These things are all boiling together. And I believe, you know, when we were back and he spoke, when Trump first spoke out there in Iowa, and I sat there and I watched and I saw that very conservative crowd respond, and I saw the person, Frank Luntz, who actually was the moderator at that point, make a statement afterwards about Trump's comment about McCain. That was when this thing really first got going. His private comment was, there is no way under the shining sun this individual will ever get off the ground. What he did today is going to tank him right now. And he said, look, I'm a pollster. I'm involved in this. Well, it was just yesterday that Frank came out again and said, my legs are wobbly because I heard people in this focus group say why they like him, and it goes to exactly what we're saying here. So, gentlemen, the reason is he's an outsider. He's able to get things done. And if he stays on these issues that he is saying, then, in fact, I believe this support will not wane. It will grow even further.
You know, in light of that, though, a poll that was released yesterday asked respondents to name the first word that came to their mind relative to the various candidates. And it's interesting, the first word that came to minds of people regarding Donald Trump was that he's arrogant, blowhard, idiot, businessman, clown. That's the first five or six. Honest, ego, money, outspoken, crazy, rich, showman, strong, and a few other things.
You know, Gary, and I would have to say, I bet, I don't know how those comments can be the comments of the 59% who think that he may be the likely contender.
Let me jump in and just say something. You know, the term I think I heard maybe that was used by these respondents more than any other was the term arrogant, or some synonym that would be be equal to the word arrogant. If I could use a sports analogy, and my brother has talked to me about this on a number of occasions, he says sometimes it's termed as arrogant, and maybe it is. In Trump's case, it is arrogance. But my brother said, you know, if you're going into an athletic competition, if you're going into any kind of competition, there is such a thing as a game face that you want to put on, and it has to be a confident game face. And I think while some people may perceive Trump to be quote unquote arrogant, there is a sense in their spirit where they appreciate that, because he's not apologizing. He's not apologizing for his success like Mitt Romney did. He's not apologizing for America like Barack Obama has done incessantly. And so while some would consider that to be a negative trait, and again, it could be a negative thing, some people, I think, appreciate the fact that he's not constantly, incessantly apologizing, but he is speaking up for himself, his own success, as well as for the uniqueness of America.
And Dave, and can I say this as well to follow up on that? I think where he has made some of these very bold statements, like the McCain statement, or, you know, whatever he may have, Megyn Kelly and these kind of things, he has had some knowledge behind it that at the end of the day, he had a reason for saying it, and that's
correct.
Why he's been able to prevail.
That's correct.
So, mm-hmm. Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, and Dave and Dan, or Dave and Sam, Dave and Dan, you know, when he starts really outlining in specific what he's going to do, things may change. It'll be interesting to watch. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we're going to have with us Mr. Phil Dubrow of WTAJ Television in Altoona, Pennsylvania, talking about the murders down in Roanoke, so stay tuned. This is Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network. We'll be back right after these messages.
I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you're a parent or grandparent and want to help bring spiritual renewal to America, here's where you should start, with your children and grandchildren. Our children need a godly education, one that mirrors the Christian values embraced by our founders and taught in the home by many of you. BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, makes homeschooling fun and exciting. Exceeding all national standards, BJU Press textbooks are accurate, dependable, and well-researched. They're designed to promote excellence for everyone. every child and are adaptable to different learning styles and challenges. Carefully integrating a true biblical worldview throughout BJU Press textbooks set the standard for academic instruction. That's why I so strongly endorse BJU Press textbooks and encourage their use by homeschoolers and Christian schools alike. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. That's bjupresshomeschool.com.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
Chances are there'll never be an emergency ever again. But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
Who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
August 28, 1963, the event, the Civil Rights March on Washington, D.C. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. declared, "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Where little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and little white girls and walk together. I have a dream that one day the glory of the Lord shall be revealed when all God's children, black and white, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing, 'Free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.'"
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of providence which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the American Pastors Network Stand in the Gap Today radio program, along with Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr. I'm Gary Dahl, and we want to bring in with us here for this segment and the next segment, Mr. Phil Dubrow, who is the Vice President and General Manager of WTAJ Television in Altoona, Pennsylvania, where I live. WTAJ is a CBS affiliate and the station upon which I receive most of my information as it relates to local and national news here. And so I know Phil personally. Phil, welcome to Stand in the Gap today.
Thanks, guys, for having me.
It's a delight to have you with us. And, of course, we have you on to talk about what took place down in Roanoke, Virginia on Tuesday, I believe it was, or was it Wednesday now? I guess it was Wednesday. Anyway, there at WDBJ Television, what a serious, sad situation took place down there when these young journalists were killed while they were out on a live shot. And let me just begin right off to say, or to ask you, Phil, what is your acquaintance or relationship with WDBJ Television? I know that they are a sister station as it relates to being a part of the CBS network, but does your relationship or affiliation with them go any deeper than that?
Not too much deeper. Give you a little bit of insight. We, our company, has stations in the Roanoke market, not WDBJ.
Okay.
But I've had former employees from WDBJ become reporters at our station, and we've had some employees leave here and work for their station. It's a very, very good television station that I think does a decent job of getting the news out to folks.
Now, you know, and of course, you've been in the industry now for a few years, haven't you?
I have. Yeah.
And how long have you been in, by the way?
More than 20 years.
Okay, that's a good statement. We won't go any further than that, Phil. But has anything like this ever occurred, as far as you know, in the history of television across the nation?
Not an actual killing of reporters. Last month, for instance, in San Francisco, there were some live shots set up with multiple TV stations. And while on air, they were robbed of their equipment and pistol whipped, and multiple crews had that happen to them simultaneously. So there has been some violence live on television, but not ever to something like this.
Well, as vice president and general manager of a television station, what is your main concern about something like this when it happens?
You know, the very first thing that I thought of was, obviously, is this more than just a single incident in Roanoke? How could it relate to anything where my folks would be in trouble? So the first thing you do is kind of pull everything back, talk to our folks, make sure that everybody's secure, get some facts on what's going on, and then prepare for the day that way.
Mm.
So obviously, you know, the concern is first and foremost safety. And, you know, sometimes you say that a little bit nonchalant, but the bottom line is that at the end of the day, our employees need to go home safe at the end of their shift. So it doesn't matter anything else. Their safety is going to be most important.
The question that came to my mind when this happened is, how really do you prepare your reporters for a situation like this that happened? I mean, you know, a good reporter probably doesn't even think of something like that taking place when they're out on a shoot.
Gary, I agree. I don't really know how you prepare for something like this at all.
Mm-hmm.
The semi-good news, and this is the only type of silver lining out of the situation, is obviously it was a person who had some sort of mental instability. And in that case, you don't expect that to happen in other places. This is just hopefully a one-time event that doesn't occur anymore. But I don't know how you can prepare for that, because they're just out there doing their job. This is completely unexpected.
Hmm. And how did your reporters actually respond to that when the news came in?
You could see easily that they were impacted. Mm-hmm. All of our folks took to social media to talk to their friends. The news media, the local news media, is a very small group of folks spread across the country who a lot of folks know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just see it that these are brothers and sisters out in the field, and there is a kinship that you don't know these people, but you do all at the same time because you're doing the same thing. They understand what went on, and this is just such a tragedy.
Wow. Sam?
Well, Gary and Phil, great to have you here. I'm wondering, in a case like this, You know, these journalists at this point that were attacked, they weren't even necessarily addressing controversial issues. They weren't investigative reporters, which sometimes, obviously, that can take you into a tough area. So when you look at the your people and what they're doing, do you sometimes make a direction or determination of what, like, for instance, what issues they pursue? Are you already in the mode of maybe instructing them not to get involved in controversial things? And how do you separate that kind of thing, which obviously can lead perhaps to some pushback from depending, and this kind of thing that they were doing, which was really, it was just good reporting?
Yeah, in this case, it was something related to the community. It was more about a Chamber of Commerce, I believe, type of event. So it really had no kind of controversy that would have had any implications from the person being interviewed or the subject matter. So when you flip it to the other side and you have something a little bit more controversial, or say you're going into a neighborhood or something that could be volatile, we do have to look at that. We have to be careful. In today's world, many reporters across the country, large markets and small, have multimedia journalists, which means they shoot and edit and record their own video. They do their interviews all themselves. They're the only one out in the field. So when that's the case, you've got to be extra concerned about your environment. You've got to make sure that you know what you're doing. And in case something looks out of place, how are you going to react to that? Because the bottom line is that I'm a lot less concerned when they come back, if they come back without any incidents, as compared to having to deal with any incidents while they're out there. So neighborhoods, topics, things like that, sometimes we'll have to send somebody else with them, a photographer, just to make sure that in certain circumstances that we're covered.
Phil, this is Dave Kistler, and I just want to say thank you for what you do. I think this story, if there's been a positive side to any of it, part of that positive side has been Jeffrey Marks, the general manager there at WDBJ. He has handled himself in the consummately professional manner. And I just want to say this about you. You appear to be the consummate professional yourself. And I think Sam can appreciate this, Gary can appreciate this, as preachers, which I am as well. You sort of pastor your team there at your station, just like Jeffrey Marks has sort of pastored and shepherded the folks there at WDBJ through this tragedy. And so I appreciate all that you do as a station manager. But I want to ask you a question. Of course, the video that everybody is familiar with, if they've seen any of it, is what actually went out over the air as Mr. Ward was filming this interview with this lady who was part of the Chamber of Commerce. That video is well known. There is what's called the second video, which is a video that was taken by Mr. Flanagan, a.k.a. Bryce Williams, that he took with a cell phone camera or with some other type of device. And have you seen that, Phil? Have you seen that second video?
I have seen a couple still shots of it, but I've not watched the video itself.
Well, I actually watched it, and I have a question because when I watched it, I thought it's incredibly unusual. I'll use that term. As he is walking down what looks like a boardwalk onto the scene where the interview is taking place, you can see the cameraman to the right. You can see the person being interviewed in the middle. Then you see the young lady who was a reporter on the left. They're all very tight together as they're conducting the interview, and they appear to be completely unaware, oblivious to the fact that this gentleman is walking up on them. He walks actually up to with what appears to be 3 to 5 feet away from him, lifts the gun into the camera that he's holding where it can be seen, takes the gun back down out of the picture frame, and then lifts it back in place again. And none of them, the person being interviewed, the cameraman, of course, who pretty much had his back to the guy that's the shooter, or the interviewer, even notices that he's there. My question is that the norm, not having been in that environment? Is it typical for professionals, you know, to be so engaged in what they're doing that they would not notice a man walking up and actually lifting a gun maybe no less than 3 feet away from them and not to see it?
Yeah, and you have to keep in mind there's a few different aspects of what's going on. So I think the word engagement is probably the best. They are, in some regards, part of show business. So they're putting on a show for that camera. They've been out in the field probably since 5:30 in the morning, setting up that live shot, getting ready to go. And there's some elements that they need to prepare for to get ready for that, and they're very focused on doing that. Don't forget, they have an earpiece in, and they're talking to somebody who's in their ear, and they're trying to stay focused on the questions and all the elements that they have going on.
And, Phil, we're going to have to sort of stop right there. We're up against the hard break, and if you can continue your comments after we come back, I'd appreciate it very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be back with more Stand in the Gap today right after this, so don't go away.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio, I'm Paul Stevens. State of emergency in Florida for Tropical Storm Erica after it hit Dominica, killing four people.
The maximum winds are holding at about 50 miles per hour, and we think that Erica will weaken over the next 24 hours as it interacts with land, particularly Hispaniola. Some of those mountain peaks are up to about 10,000 feet, and that could disrupt the circulation even more.
Dennis Felchin of the National Hurricane Center, Florida's last hurricane back in 2005. Former President George W. Bush in New Orleans, 10 years after Hurricane Katrina.
The darkness from a decade ago has lifted. The Crescent City has risen again, and its best days lie ahead.
Bush with remarks after a roundtable discussion at a New Orleans charter school. A magnitude 5.3 earthquake hitting about 130 miles southeast of Iwo Jima, Japan. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area. Freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gere with today's Family Update. The release of a series of videos exposing terrible atrocities committed by Planned Parenthood in the name of reproductive health or the right to choose has awakened many to the truth of abortion and is stirring calls to restore protection for all innocent human life from conception until natural death. It's being described as a Wilberforce moment, so named for William Wilberforce, the British Member of Parliament, whose Christian faith led him to take a stand against the slave trade. On October 30th, we're hosting Eric Metaxas as the keynote speaker for our Friends of the Family Banquet. Eric Metaxas is the best-selling biographer of Wilberforce and Dietrich Bonhoeffer, two men who demonstrated the duty of Christians to stand up against the evil in their day. For more information about our Friends of the Family Banquet, go to pafamily.org. That's pafamily.org, or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap today, along with Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr. I am Gary Dahl, and we are delighted to have you with us today. We are speaking with Mr. Phil Dubrow, who is the Vice President and General Manager of WTAJ Television in Altoona, Pennsylvania, a CBS affiliate for Central Pennsylvania. And we're talking about the situation that took place down at WDBJ in Roanoke on Wednesday when two young journalists were killed. And, Phil, you were talking when we came up to the hard break there. I'm sorry I had to interrupt you, but go ahead and finish your comments, sir.
Sure. So you have the photographer and the reporter that are in the field. When they're doing their report, they'll have a producer that's talking in their ear about how much time they still have left. And you'll even have control room people that will be making sure that the signal that is being sent back to the station is quality enough. So they've already had to go through a lot of that. That still is ongoing during that report. They obviously have questions that they want to ask somebody. So I do think that they are very, very focused on getting it done. You couple that with the fact that it's very early in the morning, and most likely in many of these morning live shots, there's nobody around anywhere. There's no traffic. It's just them and the interviewee, and sometimes just them on these live shots. So somebody walking up may just be a bystander that wants to see what's going on. They're not familiar, but they see a camera, they see some lights on, and you just kind of get used to that. There's a lot of gawkers when you're doing a report for the TV, and sometimes you kind of get used to that and maybe become immune to people walking up.
So, Phil, obviously Mr. Flanagan, having been himself a former reporter, he would understand all of what you just shared and, of course, could exploit that to his advantage, as he obviously did this past Wednesday.
Without a doubt. I mean, it was pretty obvious that he knew what he was doing, and he knew that they would be distracted doing something, and he took advantage.
One final question I have, and this goes to the time of day. I think it was 6:43 or 6:45 whenever this interview was being conducted. How would Flanagan know that they were conducting an interview at a fairly isolated location that early in the morning? How would he access that information to even be able to be there to perpetuate the crime that he committed?
And that's an exact same thought that we had going on here. There's a couple different ways. Some television stations will announce, hey, we're going to be here tomorrow, make sure you tune in, kind of thing. And otherwise, usually you'll start your live shots in that 5 to 5:30 a.m. time slot. I'm not sure if they did or didn't, but if he lived nearby, it gave him essentially an hour to get there. So he could have easily done that, and that could be the standard that he knew that they were doing. If they do live shots in the morning show all around the viewing area at different times in the morning, he would know that he had the time that they'd be there stuck for 2 hours, or 3 hours doing that.
Well, it's a very serious situation, and I'll tell you what, it causes every one of us, I think, to be concerned about folks in your industry there, Phil. Sam, go ahead, sir.
Phil, I'm going to switch topics if I can just a little bit. There was another article that came out that talked about two reporters, Franz Strasser and Tara McKelvey, from another station that happened to come up on the scene where this killer had stopped his car, and the police ultimately caught up and they were there, and he had actually was filming some of what was there with this individual in the car. When the police came, one of them, according to what they're saying, instructed him to destroy that video or that they would take his camera from him. It seems odd that what would be evidence, at least at that point, would be ordered destroyed by the police. I'm just wondering, from the standpoint of media general, does that strike you strange? And what is the policy that the media works with in regard to First Amendment rights, their responsibility to actually report the news as it is, and being told, in this case, by one particular individual, get rid of that or I'm going to take your camera? How do you handle that?
I personally think that that's somebody who was overstepping their bounds and had no idea what they were saying. You know, if you're on public property, they don't have any right to say anything like that. Now, if you're interfering, that's a whole different subject, or if you're trespassing, that's a different subject. From what I understand in this case, none of that was valid. This was just somebody trying to, invoke their own powers that they really don't have. Our folks most likely would try to refuse that. Because it's not their right to take that away from us. That video was not secured illegally, And so if it's not, then that is a First Amendment right for us to be able to go and do so. I think we would probably fight that pretty hard. But what's going to happen is when you have an officer in your face trying to intimidate you, you may make a decision that you can't, you know, think rationally while that's going on in very, very fast-paced moments.
Well, you know, and I think that that's correct. And, you know, where I just came back from Ukraine, Phil, and we talked about another program today. Their Independence Day was on Monday of this week. I was there for a gathering in the square there in Kiev and so forth. And one of the things that was in the papers were there was that over the last 10 years, 51 journalists have disappeared or been murdered. And they were celebrating Independence Day from what's happened here over the last year. But they were also recognizing this fact that those covering First Amendment issues have disappeared. That's a big deal. I would have to say that if we'd have, you know, five or six of those in journalists and runs across this country lose their life, I would think the American public would arise in great anger. Don't you?
I do, and you know, there's been a lot of, you know, police-related video out in the last few years, and I know the police have not, you know, they've not enjoyed some of the ramifications related to that. In this incident, I don't know why this person was doing that. If this crazy person went and took his own life, there's nothing that they should be worrying about more than securing that scene and taking care of it from that end, regardless of anything else. I mean, I'm a little dumbfounded why they're spending the time doing that rather than doing other work.
Hmm. You know, one of the questions that comes to my mind, Phil, is, you know, so many times when things like this happen, there will be a reaction or a response by the powers to be and those involved with the industry and so forth and so on. So do you think that the time will come when reporters will have to take security with them when they go out on a live story like that?
You know, in some of the major markets, I think I know it's already being done. San Francisco, for instance, they have a security firm that follows all of their reporters out on the scene. It is that dangerous for them to do that. In our part of the country, we've got some very, very nice folks around here, and I think it's you know, it's a little bit better. But unfortunately, individual incidents happen. There are people that don't like to be interviewed about certain topics, and you don't know that and don't expect that, and they react very, very emotionally when you put a camera on them. Our TV station was involved when the riots happened at Penn State regarding the Joe Paterno thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we had folks on scene when they overturned our news vehicle and totally destroyed it.
Mm-hmm.
My concern with our folks was get them out of there. And so we had to hide our cameras to make sure that they weren't going to be the next target.
Mm-hmm.
Phil, let me ask you a question, and this is kind of just a tad off topic, but yet at the same time, in a sense, related. When you're looking to hire a reporter, what is the number one quality you look for in a young man or a young lady? I know there's certain professional qualities, training and so on that they have to have, and all of that is a given and assumed. But what kind of character quality are you looking for in a person that you're going to hire that would tell you right out of the shoot, this person is going to be able to handle the pressure, they're going to be able to respond appropriately to a police officer who may be a tad intimidating, they're going to handle a dangerous situation and handle it well? What are you really looking for as a vice president and general manager?
I think the first thing you see is when they provide us their reel, which is their examples of their work, when they have that look on camera that they get it, it's kind of intangible. But you can see that they understand it. And that will tell you a lot about them when they're out on a story, if they're able to ask the right questions. If somebody gives them a blanket answer that is, you know, scripted, can they get a different answer from them? If they can do that, then we understand that they can handle themselves out in that field very well. And we see a variety of those people. We know we have some of those, and we know we have to work on some of those. But that's one of those characteristic traits that if you come in with it, that's better for you and your success, and we can easily see those people. From the other end, the crazier part is the most important thing is writing. So that's the most difficult thing for somebody to come in. We can try and train you on that, but if you can't write, you're never going to be a good reporter.
Well, I know personally because I watch WTAJ in Altoona, Pennsylvania every day, Phil. I think you folks do a fine job in our market, and I think that you are number one in the market most of the time, correct?
We are the leader.
Mm-hmm, the news leader. I think I've seen that somewhere along the line.
Good. My promotions have worked well.
Mr. Phil Dubrow of WTAJ Television in Altoona, Pennsylvania. Thank you very, very much for being with us, Phil, and giving us some of your thoughts on this crazy situation that took place down in Roanoke, Virginia.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, don't go away because we have more when we come back after this break. On behalf of Sam Rohr and David Kistler, I'm Gary Dahl. Don't you dare go away. There's more to come.
Dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But have you ever stopped to ask how much is enough or how much is too much? Will the money you leave to your family come between them and God? Have you ever said, I am rich, I've acquired wealth, I don't need a thing? I believe that God increases our wealth not to increase our standard of living, but to increase our standard of giving. This is Roy Russell, president of the Life Financial Group, a Christian wealth advisory firm. We work with believers and especially widows to wisely manage the wealth and efficiently pass it on to their children and grandchildren. We are financial, tax, and estate planners. We help successful Christians make wise decisions with their money so they can better provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Please call me with your questions or to discuss your needs and desires at 800-688-5800. That's 1-800-688-5800 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
A popular government without popular information or the means of acquiring it is but a prologue to a farce or a tragedy, or perhaps both. Knowledge will forever govern ignorance. And a people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power which knowledge gives. A quote from James Madison.
Hi, this is Carla Dedessi, author of the Julia Learns book series and host of Your Family Matters here at 1180 WFYL. Let's make 2015 the year that we read quality books to our children, the future leaders of this country. Please start with my book series, Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely and Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely. Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely is instructing our children to vote with conservative values and the importance of planting those seeds deeply into our children's hearts at an early age. Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely is planting seeds deeply for truth and nobility and righteousness that we see in traditional marriage. They are the only books that are sharing this message with our children, the future leaders of the United States of America. And please keep a lookout for a third book that will be launched this April 2015, Julia Learns How to Protect Life Wisely. Remember, today's readers are tomorrow's future leaders.
The Julia Learns series can be purchased as ebooks, printed books, and on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other Christian retailers.
Hi, this is Nancy Becker, the Recorder of Deeds in Montgomery County. I'd like to read a quote from Mark Twain. In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man, and brave, and hated, and scorned. When his cause succeeds, the timid join him, and then it costs nothing to be a patriot.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And for our regular listeners, you know that Friday is phone-in Friday, but we wanted to have an interview with Phil Dubrow on what took place down in Roanoke, Virginia. So we did not open the phones. But if you want to give us a call here in the last segment of the program, please feel free to do so. The number, of course, is 1-877-667-1180, or locally in Philadelphia, it's 610-539-8255. That's 1-877-667-1180, or in Philadelphia, 610-539-8255. Sam and Dave, I think that was a pretty good interview, and you know, when you and I turn on the television and watch a reporter on the scene somewhere, we really never take into consideration what all they have to go through and even the security situations that they must face. And one of the questions that I wanted to ask Phil, but we didn't have the time to do so, is I'm wondering if this type of an event that took place down in Roanoke will cause some stations to decide not to do live shots on locations, particularly in larger markets. And Phil, I know that you're Sam, I know that you're there in Philadelphia, and you know there are some segments of that city that is really high crime, and you know it just may cause some of these reporters to say, I'm not sure if I want to go do that or not.
Well, Gary, I think you're right, but you know, while you're talking, I'm thinking that, you know, in real life, I think there's far greater pressure put on the control of determination of what's filmed, what's not filmed, what's stated, what's not stated, what's you know, overlooked by the powers that be. Money is driving a lot of these. And as we've consolidated the media, and as you know, it's down to a couple of different owners, there is great manipulation of the news generally. So that, you know, whereas the fact that someone could actually lose their life in this case, and therefore a decision by a local reporter not to go and cover a specific thing, I think remains enormously small if the concern is accurate and truthful reporting of the news. I think that the pressure that's brought to bear on the First Amendment rights of reporters, and of course, part of the First Amendment is that the freedom of the press. Our founders knew very, very clearly that in a free society, the press has a responsibility to report what's happening. Government has a responsibility not to try and limit what they are reporting, although they do. And we as citizens have all got to know our rights. I was thinking one thing that Phil would said there, relative to when I asked him the question about the police officer telling these other reporters down there to destroy their film, their footage that they had just shot. That's a First Amendment violation.
Exactly.
And, you know, and he said, you know, may have caught him off guard or whatever. Don't want to do in that circumstance. You know, you've got an officer looking at you saying, violate your own rights. You say, wait a minute, what do I do? I was thinking what was going through my mind right there, Gary and Dave, is that why we as American citizens must know our constitutional rights ahead of time. We must know what it is that we've been guaranteed by God to do, what we've been assured by our Constitution. If we don't know it, we won't stand up at the right time and protect. I think we're giving up a lot of what we've been given and take for granted because we don't know. So I think that's worthy of some discussion too.
Well, it is, and I agree with you 100% on that, but let me play the devil's advocate here a little bit, particularly with you, since you've been involved with government and politics, and you've had many interviews down through the years, as has Dave and myself, but I suppose you've had more than we have put together. Is there a fine line of distinction there? I mean, is there a certain place where you've got to say, you know, that's just something I can't follow through with?
That's why I'm saying thinking ahead of time, to being forewarned is to be forearmed, that kind of perspective. For someone who deals with the press, for instance, somebody who is a reporter, for them not to know what their rights and limitations are, if they don't know that, I don't think they've been well equipped. Mm-hmm. They're dealing in an area where any time they hold the camera up and shoot a picture, or they hold a quote, or they determine what part of the quote they're going to report, they're dealing with legal considerations all the time. It's a part of journalism. So I am very concerned about the fact that they were told by the police officer, but I'm also as much concerned by the fact that they complied in that setting as well, Gary.
Sam, could I say this? That goes to part of the reason why I asked the question of Phil at the very end. What is it you're looking for in a reporter? You know, there's got to be some aggressiveness on the part of a reporter that when they're pushed by another official entity, be that a police entity or a legal entity, they have enough backbone to push back. Obviously, understanding their rights according to the Constitution is a vital component. But do you think, Sam, that the reason this happened with these two reporters that evidently did destroy the video, were they not with the BBC? Were they not with the BBC? And so hence, because they're from another country with another network outside the United States, may have felt a tad more intimidated because maybe they didn't know, the rights that are guaranteed here in the United States like somebody who is a resident of the country would.
Well, you know, Dave, that's a possibility. That's a possibility. But on the other hand, if someone I know, if I go to another country and going to be doing something, I find out what the rules are before I go. I doubt very seriously that those individuals did not know what their rights were in this country. I think it raises questions that may not be answered today on this program.
Felt somewhat intimidated. I don't know. Very quickly, Matt, you have about 30 seconds, but go ahead.
Yeah, my thing is, as I was thinking about all this that's happened, it seems to me it's just going to open up the floodgates for big government to take control of the news and use this as their inroad to control everything and to not allow our report under the guise of security, which is basically what's been happening. People are giving up their freedom for government security, and that's how I think the devil's going to use this thing to control the media even more.
That's a good point. Sam, your response to that?
Well, it's possible, just like we've talked about, the opportunity for these kind of things to move forward to say, let's take away guns, violation of the Second Amendment, or to limit the right of those, the journalists, for their own protection, quote unquote. I think these are the things we have to be very much aware of and say these things are opportunities to teach about what our rights are and how we need to defend them, not to take advantage to try see how we can get rid of them. That's the challenge here, I think.
Dave, a final word from you, sir.
Well, again, I think we've gotten valuable insight through this experience this week, tragic though it has been, into the life of the reporters and into the industry itself. And so, like we pray for our men and women in uniform, like we pray for those that are in law enforcement, I think we who are believers ought to pray daily for those that are covering the news that God will keep them safe as well.
Amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you for being with us today. Lord willing, we will be back with you again on Monday on another edition of Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network. I encourage you to go to church on Sunday and worship the Lord, give Him the worship that's due His great name. Until Monday, on behalf of Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr, I'm Gary Dahl saying keep looking up as you stand in the gap. Because we know the very best is yet to come. There's no doubt about that.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.